week we looked in Matthew 8, verse 20 at the Son of Man, but we missed verse 19, and I apologize for that, so we're kind of jumping back a little bit here in Matthew 8, 19. So Mr. Scott, could you read that for us, and then we will pray and dive in. Matthew 8, verse 19.
And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
So here we see the name Master, and that is our 36th name already of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. We're still in the book of Matthew. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word to teach us today. We are truly grateful for this opportunity and pray you'll bless it and be glorified in it. In Christ's name, amen. So Jesus is our master. Amen. If you go to Matthew 23, verses 9 and 10, Howard, if you would read those for us. Matthew 23, verses 9 and 10. One is your master, even Christ. So Jesus very clearly saying that only the Christ himself is the master. And when he sent his disciples, if you go to Matthew 14, 14, he sent them with his authority as the master. So Brother Cash, if you could read that for us, 14, 14 of Mark. The master saith. So Jesus here is, when he sent the disciples, he said, you're going to do this in my authority. Amen? Because I am the master. There can only be one overall master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the disciples often addressed our Savior. If you go to Luke 5:5, we'll see this. Luke 5:5. That's just one example. There are many. But often when the disciples addressed Jesus, as we see here, came to, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So this is early on when he's calling his disciples. But even from then, many times when the disciples addressed our Savior, they addressed him as their master. And in John 1:38, if you turn there, please. Brent, if you could read that for us.
Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, which dwellest thou?
So here they're saying, Rabbi, but notice its interpretation. It is Master. And then John 13:13, where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Roy, if you could read John 13:13 and 14, please.
You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, that's all I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.
If I then, your Lord and Master. So Jesus is making it very clear that he is the Lord and he is the Master. Amen. So that is another beautiful name of our Savior. He is the Master, our Lord. Amen. Thoughts or questions before we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 78? None? Okay. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us, Luke 1, 78 and 79. That is. This is when Zacharias gave a prophecy about Jesus' ministry. And he says here, that he is the day spring from on high. So the day spring is referring to the rising of the sun. And of course, Jesus Christ came to bring light, amen, to a dark world and also to make all things new. Remember in Malachi 4, when we looked at that, he was called the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. So God likening Jesus Christ to the sun, which gives us warmth and life, essentially. And here he is referred to as the day spring, which is the rising of the sun. He came to be that day spring to bring a new beginning. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Also to bring a new covenant. Amen. We read about that in the book of Hebrews, primarily chapter 8, where he did away with the old covenant, brought in a new covenant or a new testament. And of course, he then, as we'll see later, refers to himself as the light of the world. So Jesus Christ is that day spring, the rising of the sun. Some beautiful names. They teach us a lot about the character of our Savior. Amen. So thoughts or questions about that name, which is number 36 or 30. Yeah, 36.
Can you tell me what does Zechariah mean, please?
It's a name.
What does that mean?
That's a good question. I'd have to look that one up. Thank you, Jan. I don't know off the top of my head what the name Zechariah means, but I'm sure James can look it up in the Greek for us or the Hebrew. Anyway, let's go to Luke 2 and verse 11, name number 37. When you guys are getting hot, you just say the word and we'll have someone turn on the heat pumps. But we left them off because it was a little bit chilly and, you know, we thought about maybe putting Afghans on every aisle for those who get cold. But anyway, when you get cold, just go grab the controllers and turn it on. One of the most important names here in Luke chapter 2 is the name Savior. Amen. Luke 2 verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So here Jesus Christ is the Savior. It tells us why he came. Amen. He came to save. Now, if you go to Isaiah 43:11, it's very important that we understand that Jehovah claims to be the only Savior. Isaiah 43:11. Whose turn is it? James, if you could read that for us, please.
I am the Lord, and the Son, yet there is no Savior.
So remember that L-O-R-D, when you see it in the Old Testament, if they're all caps, that's our clue that the Hebrew name there is Jehovah. And so Jehovah says, beside me there is no Savior. Amen. We get to the New Testament and Jesus is very often referred to as the Savior. That's why he came. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to what? Save that which was lost. So Jesus Christ is that only Savior, Jehovah. He is, 1 John 4:14, the Savior of the world. And you know, when you're witnessing to people, it's important to emphasize that Christ came to save. Amen? So that people understand that they need saved from something. And that's why we start with sin. That's why we start with the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell. We need saved. We need rescued. And Christ came to do that. He came to save us from our sins. Praise God. The great God and our Savior, that's in Titus chapter 2, if you want to turn there quickly, Brandon. Titus 2, verse 13. Titus 2, 13, please.
Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is that Savior. Amen? Thoughts or questions before we go to John 1:1? We all know what one that is, don't we? John 1:1. Cash, what one's that? In the beginning was the Word. Amen. The Word. This isn't just a description of Christ, which it is, but it's also one of his names. This is important. This is a name of our Savior. He is the Word. And as we read here in John 1, in the beginning, so he always has been, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we jump down to verse 14. What does it say? And the Word was made flesh. So that's the incarnation. That is God becoming a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So it's important that we note that Jesus Christ, as the Word, has always been. Amen? Praise God for that. So Hebrews 4 then, let's turn there, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12 and 13. That means when we read about the power of the Word, it's important for us to understand that Jesus is the Word, that he is the embodiment of the Word. Amen? So, Kelvin, could you read Hebrews 4, 12 and 13? What was that last phrase?
Jesus, our great high priest.
Is that like a title for the next section, maybe? Or is it the Kelvin version? No. Yeah, your Bible program might have an issue. Anyway, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Amen? Sorry. And sharpen a two-edged sword. That's, yeah, when we think of it, we think of this. Amen? But this is Jesus, and Jesus is this. He is the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that when he returns, that will be one of his names. Amen? And we'll see that in a moment. But first, let's go to 1 John 5, 7. Very important verse for Christians. 1 John 5, 7. And this verse is teaching us about the Trinity, amen? And of all the names that God could have chosen of Jesus Christ, and there are many, as we've seen, this is the name that God chose to put in this verse. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, amen? It's a beautiful verse, important verse for Christians, missing in most modern Bibles, by the way. But this verse, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Now let's look at Revelation 19 and see his return to the earth, which is yet future. First we have to get into Revelation 4, come up hither, the rapture, then starts the tribulation period, Revelation 6 through 18. And then Revelation 19, we have Jesus coming back. verses 11 to 13, Brad, if you would, Revelation 19.
Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
And his name is called the Word of God. Amen. He returns on a white horse, two-edged sword, that with it he should judge and make war. We'll also be looking at faithful and true, some more names of Christ, but there's no question who this is. This is Jesus returning to the earth to set up his kingdom, which is what happens in chapter 20. But his name is called the Word of God. So again, of all the names that could have been put there by God, he chose that name. So this is a very important name of our Savior, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. So thoughts or questions about that beautiful name of Jesus, the Word of God. All right, he also is our Creator. If we go back to John 1:1, where we found the name Word, verses 1 to 3 teaches that the Word is also our Creator. Nathan, you want to read those for us? Verses 1 to 3 of John 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
And then verse 10.
He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him.
So this Word, who always has been, also is the Creator. Amen? He made all things. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. So He made the world. Of course, it says there that the world knew Him not. So Jesus Christ here is the Creator. Now, way back, if you go to Genesis 1, this is always, it doesn't baffle Christians, but it's always baffled Bible scholars, that one of the names of God is a plural name, Elohim. And the reason for that is because God is who He is. He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen? And that's why He says here in verse 26 of Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image. Amen? Notice the word us there. It's not referring to the angels. They did not help with creation. But that word, Elohim, for God there, is a plural name. God makes no mistakes. So as early as the very first chapter of the Bible, God is revealing Himself as a Trinity. And Jesus Christ, therefore, was involved in creation as our Creator. And the Bible says, if you go to Colossians chapter 1, Mr. Scott, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 to 18, that He not only created all things, but that He holds it together. Colossians 1, 16 through 18.
Why then were all things created and are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominoes or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things He might have.
So notice, this has to be Jesus, right? Because first of all, He's the head of the body. He's the firstborn from the dead. So this has to be referring to God the Son, amen, or God the Word. We're looking at Him as the Creator. Notice it says, by Him, by Jesus, were all things created. He made everything. But more than that, verse 17, by Him all things consist. We won't understand this till we get to heaven, right? That God holds everything together. I don't know if you remember physics class when you were taught about atoms and electrons and neutrons and protons and all of that, right? And of course, since then, since old people like me who had physics class, they found even more stuff inside the atom. And they can explain how it all interacts with each other and how the electrons all rotate around the nucleus and all that. But you know what they can't explain? They can't explain the why. They can tell you the what. They can tell you that all this is going on inside an atom, which we can't even see, that these electrons are all doing all their thing and the protons are doing their thing and the neutrons are doing their thing. But what holds it? Why? Why is all this happening? Why are these little mini universes working the way they do? Why don't the electrons just fly off? Why do they rotate around the nucleus? Well, because by him all things consist. He made everything, but he also holds it all together. And if he decided, he could say, no more, poof, everything explodes. Which, by the way, he is going to burn up the whole earth, isn't he? That's easy for God. He just says it and it's done. So Jesus Christ is our creator. Never forget that. He is the one who made everything, and he is the one who holds it all together. And if you look at Revelation 4:11, Howard, if you could read that for us, we will see that he made everything for his own pleasure. Amen. For thy pleasure. He gets to set the rules. Amen. Because he made everything for himself. Therefore, we have no place to question what or how he made what he made. That's God. So Jesus Christ is our creator. And then in John 1 again, if you want to turn back there, any questions about creator? The last one we'll look at today, number 40, is Jesus is light. So, Mr. Cash, could you read verses 4 to 9 for us? John 1. Yep. Four through nine.
There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for witness to be a witness of the law, but only through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light which was to bring man coming to the world.
Notice light is capitalized there. That's because it's one of the names of Jesus. So John came to be a witness, as it says, to bear witness of the light. He wasn't the light. He came to bear witness of that light. And that light, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is light. Now, this is also one of God's names. If you look at 1 John 1:5, we'll see this. Brant, if you could read that for us, please. 1 John 1:5.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
God is light. Amen. And here the Bible says that John came to bear witness of the light. Capital L, Jesus Christ. One of his names is light. And of course, this was even prophesied at his birth. If you want to go to Luke chapter 2. Philip, if you could read for us 28 to 32 of Luke 2.
Luke 2:28 to 32.
So this was at the circumcision of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And notice he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, and he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. So even in this prophecy that was given upon Jesus Christ at his circumcision, we read about him being the light. Amen. And then if you go to John 3, God explains why man rejects salvation. He has a lot of excuses for rejecting Christ, doesn't he? The longer you witness, the more you hear dumb excuses for not getting saved. But there's really only one, and that's found here in John 3. Roy, if you could read 19 down through verse 21.
And this is the foundation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be approved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light,
amen. So to get saved, you have to make a choice, don't you? You have to admit that you're in darkness, and you have to be willing to come to the light and let it shine on your sin. That's why when you share the gospel, you start with sin. You always start with sin. Because if you're not willing to admit you're a sinner, then you can't be saved. What are you getting saved from? So it always starts with sin, the consequences of sin. And this is why man doesn't get saved, because what? His deeds are evil. And he doesn't want to come to the light, because the light, if the light shines on him, then his sin is revealed. That's why man's come up with all these crazy ideas about there not being a God. Because if you can push God out of the picture and say there isn't a God, well, now you can just live however you want to live and there's no accountability. But if there's a God, then someday we have to answer to him as our creator, right? Someday we have to give account for our behavior, our life, whatever. And people don't want to be accountable. So much easier to say there is no God, isn't it? It's all about light and darkness. The Bible says that we've been transformed from darkness to light, those of us that are born again, that you and I are to shine as lights in the world. We're to take his light to this world. And if you look at Revelation 21, we'll finish there, verse 23. The Bible teaches that Jesus will even be the light in the city of God, which is beautiful. Mr. Zeus, if you could read Revelation 21, 23. Isn't that beautiful? The Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb. The Lamb of God is the light in the city of God. How beautiful is that? So number 40, the Lord Jesus Christ is light. Any thoughts or questions about that beautiful name?